Do you ever find yourself in a place where you're feeling unsettled and restless? You sense that God is trying to say something to you, but you're not sure what, or if you're just imagining it. That's where I found myself one Friday night back in May. I had driven out to Richmond, Indiana, to attend the baccalaureate service of one of our student clergy interns, Samantha Hasty, graduating from seminary at Earlham School of Religion. When I arrived, I discovered that the baccalaureate service was going to start an hour later than I had thought. So that meant I had time to kill, downtime. I decided to take a leisurely walk across the quad there at Earlham College, a beautiful park-like space with old-growth trees surrounded by 100-plus-year-old brick buildings. Very picturesque. It was a perfect spring evening, clear sky, gentle, warm breeze. And as I strolled along in that place of quietude, that unsettled feeling that I had been experiencing quickly rose to the surface. Beware of quiet times in your life. Beware of making space in your life, because those are the times when all of the stuff we've been stuffing down quickly comes to the fore. So with time to kill, I thought to myself, this might be a perfect opportunity to just listen closely to God. So I said, God, I sense that you're trying to say something to me. I'm not clear on what it is. I'm going to take these next 45 minutes just to try to tune in and listen as best I can. And so I walked and I listened and I was getting nothing. In fact, at one point I laughed and said, God, you got nothing for me, nothing at all. Gave up and went into the baccalaureate service. Midway through that service, the dean of Earlham School of Religion got up to speak, Jay Marshall, about today's scripture passage, Genesis 18. And 5 minutes into that, I began to realize this is exactly what I needed to hear. This message is for me. What God wants to say to me in this time and space. Thank you, God. And I suspect it's also what God might want to say to many of us, maybe even to every single one of us here. So today I feel led to share with you the gist of what Jay Marshall shared that Friday evening back in May. As I move through today's service, bear in mind that Jay Marshall deserves the credit and the blame for the insights that I'm going to share with you today. Let's start with a prayer. God, we enter this empty space. The next 30 minutes stretch out before us. We have cleared our schedules and deliberately put ourselves in this place because we know how important it is to stop, put down our busyness, and make room for you to speak into our lives. Word of God, speak. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. A couple decades ago, out in California, an elderly woman was walking out of a grocery store, pushing her shopping cart toward her vehicle that she had parked there in the parking lot. When she was about 30 feet away from her vehicle, she noticed that four young men were in that vehicle, apparently trying to steal her car. Instead of retreating or calling 911, she shouted at the top of her lungs, "Get out of that car! I've got a gun and I know how to use it." The four young men jumped out of the vehicle, ran for the hills. As soon as the coast was clear, she loaded her groceries in the back seat of the vehicle, sat down in the driver's seat, and put her key in the ignition, or at least she tried to put her key in the ignition, but she couldn't get it in the ignition. That's when it occurred to her, oh, could it be? She looks around her, and sure enough, two parking spaces down is a vehicle that looks exactly like hers. She had mistaken a look-alike vehicle, pulled her gun, and carjacked four young men
embarrassed, of course, she takes her groceries out of the stolen vehicle and put them in her own vehicle and immediately drives to a police station two blocks away. When she walks into the police station, there stand four very frightened-looking young men reporting at the police counter that some crazy old woman with a gun had just carjacked their vehicle. The police officer taking the report laughed and laughed, and thankfully the boys decided not to prosecute, and the old lady apologized profusely. Ah, the challenges of growing old. One of many challenges of growing old. Today's Bible story is about another woman facing one of the challenges of growing old, who in the process ends up learning a lesson profoundly relevant to every single one of us, regardless of our age. Today's Bible story, Genesis 18, is unusual in that though it was written at a patriarchal time, it's written from the perspective of the woman, Sarah, the wife of Abraham. We don't know exactly how old she was at the time of this story, just that the text tells us that she was, quote, of advanced age, close quote, and that, quote, it had ceased to be with her after the manner of women, close quote. For you women who are here today who have experienced hot flashes, this story is for you. Sarah had moved past the normal childbearing years, and yet she had always dreamed of being a mother. In fact, a couple decades earlier, her husband Abraham had received a vision from God promising that someday Sarah would birth a child of promise. Genesis 15:5. God said to Abraham, "Look toward the heaven and count the stars if you're able to number them. So shall your descendants be." In other words, this was a prophecy that the child of promise that Sarah was going to bear would give rise to a great nation that would bless the entire earth. Sarah had always clung to that promise. But you know how things go. The years pass. Life gets crazy. Nothing happens the way you planned. And one day you wake up and realize it's too late. The moment has passed. That's where Sarah found herself. Until one day something strange happened. In the heat of the day, Abraham was sitting in the shade by their tent when he looks up and off at a distance sees three strangers who happened to be passing by, travelers out in the middle of nowhere, passing them by. Immediately, Abraham seems to have sensed that maybe these were not ordinary humans. He seems to have sensed that maybe he was experiencing what theologians call a theophany, which means when God appears to us in human disguise. He seems to have intuited that maybe two of these strangers are angels, and maybe the third is the one, the Lord. And so he insisted that they stop and refresh themselves and rest in the shade of the tree while a feast was prepared for them. And then as they were feasting and Abraham was making dinner conversation with them under the strictures of the customs of the time, Sarah was relegated to the tent, but she was listening through the wall of the tent, eavesdropping on this fascinating conversation. Genesis chapter 18, verse 9, they said to him, Abraham, "Where's your wife Sarah?" He said, "They're in the tent." Then one of them said, "I will surely return to you in due season, and your wife Sarah shall have a son." Now Sarah was listening at the tent entrance behind him. And when she hears this, verse 12 says, Sarah laughed to herself. "Ha! Yeah, right! At my age, I'm going to have a child? That's hilarious!" By the way, that is often a sign. When someone says something to you so outlandish that it makes you laugh. When a thought passes through your mind so outlandish that it makes you laugh. Pay attention. It might just be God speaking. Renowned theologian Reinhold Niebuhr puts it this way. Humor is a prelude to faith, and laughter is the beginning of prayer. That's deep. And I think he's probably on to something there. When life beats us down, it's so easy to lose our sense of humor and grow crusty and cynical, so that when someone tells us about something wonderful that's supposed to happen, we find ourselves snapping back at them and saying, "What planet are you from? Why are you so Pollyannish?" Don't let that happen to you. Instead, when somebody's telling you about something wonderful, something crazy wonderful that might happen, do what Sarah did. Let yourself laugh. Let the idea amuse you, because amusement leads to musing, thinking. And when the seed of an idea is planted, if that seed grows, as you continue musing on it, you eventually find yourself saying, "Could it be?" That's faith, which then leads to prayer. "Oh God, let it be." And where there is faith and there is prayer, all things are possible. In your own life right now, what crazy thought sometimes passes through your brain? Don't be too quick to cynically dismiss it. At least give it a laughing chance. So, Sarah, verse 12 says, laughed to herself, saying, "After I've grown old and my husband is old, shall I have pleasure?" TMI, Sarah, TMI. "The Lord." It's one of those moments when the Bible makes you blush, right? "The Lord said to Abraham," why did Sarah laugh? Key phrase, "Is anything too wonderful for the Lord?" Then, verse 15, Sarah denied it, saying, "I didn't laugh," for she was afraid. Who wouldn't be? But the Lord said, "Oh yes, you did laugh." And that was the end of the conversation. But enough said. The seed had been planted. And in the days that followed, as Sarah mused on what had been said in that conversation, before long she found herself thinking, "Could it be?" Which led her to pray, "Oh God, let it be." And many prayers later, after a period of months, miracle of miracles, in her old age, Sarah does conceive and ends up birthing that long-awaited child of promise. She names her son Isaac. Do you know what Isaac means in Hebrew? Yeah, laughter. She ends up naming this child of promise Laughter, which I think is just beautiful. I mean, you know how these days parents often name their kids crazy names. Have you recently seen any of these lists that are circulating of parents that actual parents who give their children these crazy names? I was looking at a list the other day. Some of the names on the list: Justin Case. What were they thinking? Disaster. Daisy Chain. Dan Druff. Who would name their kid that? My personal favorite, Shonda Lear. The founder of Lear Jets supposedly named his daughter Shonda. Shonda Lear. What was he thinking? But Sarah had gotten the ball rolling millennia earlier in the book of Genesis when she chooses to name her son, the child of promise, Laughter. And I love that, because she knew what she was doing. She was memorializing for the ages the critical spiritual lesson that she had learned from her life experience that she wanted to hand down to us through the years. That lesson being, it's never too late for God to do something laughably wonderful in your life. Regardless of your age, whether you are young and old, there will be those seasons in life where you find yourself thinking, "It's too late, the moment has passed, it's never going to happen now, I may as well give up." When you find yourself thinking that, remember today's Bible story and let it be a cautionary tale to you. Instead of turning away in cynicism, let that crazy thought linger. Let yourself laugh. And if you then hear the still small voice of God saying to you, what's so funny? Is anything too wonderful for me? Then start praying about it. And as you pray about it, if you keep being tugged in the same direction, then give it a chance. Take a risk. Do something bold. Don't be stuck in life's inertia. Life is an adventure. Your journey is not yet finished. Step out in faith. And as I heard Jay Marshall sharing these ideas on that Friday in last May, it hit me up the side of the head. Because you see, I am now 60 years old. The big 6-0. Oh, yeah. This is the part where you're supposed to say, Jeff, I'm shocked. I didn't think you were a day over 40. All right. When I walked into Meijer the other day, I was doing my grocery shopping and going through the self-checkout line, and I had a bottle of wine, and of course that means the clerk has to come and approve the purchase. And normally when I'm in Meijer buying a bottle of wine, the clerks will walk up, take one look at me, and then immediately hit that button that says, this guy's so old I didn't need to check his ID. But this time the clerk said, oh, I'm going to need to see your ID. I said, really? You must need new glasses. She said, oh, I learned a lot long time ago that just because people look really old doesn't mean they're not young. I said, thank you, I think. So here I am at age 60. You know, when you're supposed to be winding things up, and I don't mean that in a morbid sense, you want to finish well, you want to run full speed through the finish line, right? I'm sure there are good things ahead of me, but age 60 is not the time in life when you're looking for a great, new, exotic, crazy adventure in your life. But recently, in that unsettled place in my soul, I keep hearing what I think is God's voice through the tent wall, and as best I can hear as I eavesdrop on God, I think I hear God saying, Jeff should write a book. Because you see, over the course of my pastoral career, I have counseled so many people who, through their experiences of life, get to that place where their experience in life is threatening to burst the contours of their faith. The little box that they've put their faith in is too small to contain what they're experiencing in life. And when that happens, what I have observed is almost always people will lose their faith because they think they've got just two options. Stay in that small little box that was handed to me, or abandon my faith altogether. But there is a third way. When you find yourself at a place on your spiritual journey where the box in which you've been keeping your faith is too small to contain your life experience, then build a bigger box for your faith. That's what's called spiritual growth. And so over the course of my life, as many of you, I've had to do that on a number of occasions. And through that process, I've developed a number of ideas that have been really helpful to me about how we can be smart followers of Jesus without checking our brain at the door. And as I've shared some of these ideas in counseling sessions with people, I see the difference that it makes. I remember talking to a pastor a couple years ago who was seriously on the brink of losing his faith. And as we talked through some of these things, he said, wow, that makes so much common sense. Why didn't I think of that? And so I keep hearing this voice through the tent wall saying, come on, you're old, but you can do this. I can even envision the name of the book, When My Old Faith Fails, Options for Thoughtful Christians. You mean I've got options, yes, Jeff? Yes. You mean I don't have to believe exactly the way my grandpa did? No. So I keep hearing this voice that says, many people could be blessed. Maybe the work that you are yet to do is greater than the work you've already done. And then I laugh. Ha! Right! Tell me another one, God. Who's going to publish my book?
And if somebody publishes my book, who's going to buy my book? Do you know how many people's life dream has been to write a book? And usually they never write it. And when they do write it, nobody buys it. And so what's the point? Besides, at age 60, that's when David and I should begin planning. Okay, are we going to live in Arizona or Florida or Dollywood, Tennessee? You never know. Don't worry, I'm not going anywhere for a while, or maybe you should worry. I'm not going anywhere for a good long while, but it's that time in life when you should be thinking about things like that. And then I get this crazy idea through the tent wall that maybe I could do something that would bless as many people as the stars of the sky, and you want to laugh out loud. I could spend all that time, all that effort, write a book, and it could flop, but I just can't shake the idea. And maybe that should be the test that we use. When God has given you an idea that you just can't shake, there comes a point where you either have to try it or live to regret it. So be bold. Step out in faith. Don't get stuck in the inertia of life. That's what I hear God saying to me through Sarah's story. What do you hear? What crazy, wonderful, laughable thing keeps running through your mind and you can't quite shake it? Maybe for you, like Sarah, it's to birth or adopt a child. Or maybe it's to begin dating again. Or maybe it's to learn to love being single. It sounds laughable, but God is full of crazy ideas. Maybe for some of us, the calling is to learn to thrive in life without alcohol. Or maybe it's to make a career change or to go back to school. Maybe it's to try something in church, to serve in church, or to be in a leadership role in church, and you've never thought about yourself as that kind of person. Maybe you're feeling called to become a Sunday school teacher, and if you told all your friends that you were thinking about becoming a Sunday school teacher, they would laugh and say, "You, a Sunday school teacher? I've never pictured you like that." What crazy, laughable idea are you having trouble shaking? Pay attention. It might just be the Spirit of God trying to get through to you, calling you into something even greater in your life. The worst that can happen is that you would fail. And failure is no shame. Nothing ventured, nothing gained. Do you know the typical successful entrepreneur fails at an average of 3.7 businesses before finally succeeding? Life's an adventure. Step out in faith. Give those crazy ideas a laughing chance. In the movie, We Bought a Zoo, Benjamin Mee says, sometimes all you need is 20 seconds of insane courage. Just literally 20 seconds of embarrassing bravery, and I promise you, something great will come of it. If nothing else, even if it flops, you will have had the satisfaction of knowing you left no stone unturned and no dream unexplored. One of the funniest scenes I've ever seen in a movie is in the National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. Chevy Chase plays that goofy dad, Clark, right? And there's that scene in the movie where it's Christmas and everybody's gathered around the big, long Christmas banquet table, and Clark at the head of the table wraps his knife on the crystal glass to get everybody's attention and then announces, since it's Aunt Bethany's 80th Christmas, I think she should lead us in the saying of grace. She, of course, is hard of hearing, so she leans over to her husband and says, "What? What did he say?" Her husband, elderly, says to her, "He says that you should lead us in grace." "Grace," she says, "grace has been dead for 30 years. "No, no," he says, "he wants you to say the blessing." "Oh." And you can tell from the expression on her face, she's never prayed a day in her life. In fact, you can tell from the whole family, this is not a praying family. They're looking at each other like, how do you do this? Some fold their hands, some close their eyes about it. Some are looking at the others. And then, bravely, Aunt Bethany starts to lead a prayer. "I pledge allegiance to the flag." And everybody joins in. "Of the United States of America."
All right, so she went down in flames. But at least she tried. At least she had the courage to give it a shot. What kind of person do you want to be? Do you want to be the person who plays it safe your whole life and goes to your grave without adventure? Or do you want to be the person who sees life as an adventure and tries some crazy, laughable stuff in your life? Which person do you want to be? Let me close with two stories, two true stories. Gary Hagen had an idea that he just couldn't shake. He was a lawyer in the United States Justice Department, a promising career spreading out before him, but he couldn't shake the idea that maybe he was supposed to quit his job and found a nonprofit that would help people who are the victims of sex trafficking. He and some of his friends had been talking about this idea for 3 years, brainstorming about that. They even knew what they were going to call this organization, the International Justice Mission. And as you talk and you talk, there eventually comes that point in time where you just can't shake the idea. The seed has grown into faith. Could it be? That leads to prayer. Oh, Lord, let it be. And then you sense God is waiting for you to do something. So Gary goes into the office of his boss at the Justice Department, decides to play it safe, and says to him, "Would you consider giving me a 1-year leave of absence?" "No," his boss says, "I can't leave your position open that long." And so now he faces a decision point. This was in 1997. Do I give up this promising career and take a flying leap? He decided to do it. Later, looking back, he would write about what he was thinking at the time and how he worked through this. He says, "I found myself thinking, what was I really afraid of? And as I thought about it, I realized that what I really feared was humiliation. If my little justice ministry idea didn't work, no one was going to die. If IJM turned out to be a bad idea and collapsed, my kids weren't going to starve. We'd probably just have to live with my parents for a while until I could find another job. The real reason I realized I was afraid was, if I failed, I would be terribly embarrassed. Having told everybody about my great idea, they would know that it was a bad idea or that I was a bad leader. Either way, it would be humiliating. So there I was, my boundary of fear. I sensed God inviting me to an extraordinary adventure of service. But deep inside, I was afraid of looking like a fool and a loser. But then I thought, when I'm older, do I really want to look back and say, yeah, I sense God was calling me to lead a movement to rescue people desperately in need of an advocate in the world, but I was too afraid of getting embarrassed, so I never tried." He decided to take the plunge. 1997. Today, he leads that organization with over 22 offices around the globe, having rescued thousands of people trapped in sex trafficking and still going strong. What if instead he had decided to play it safe? How about you? What crazy idea keeps running through your mind and you just can't quite shake it? Last story. Pulitzer Prize winning author Ann Dillard, in her book For the Time Being, tells the true story of a British man who lived in the 1930s who was the first Westerner to make contact with a remote village high in the mountains of Papua New Guinea. He flew in on a small plane on a makeshift runway hacked out of the mountain. He, of course, spent time getting to know the people of this village and they getting to know him and sharing information back and forth. And then there came a day when he was making his way to the airstrip to get in his plane, needed to go out and get some supplies. As he walked onto the airstrip, he noticed that one of the villagers had taken vines from the trees and tied himself to the fuselage of the plane. Was insistent that they not untie him. As people of the village gathered, they asked him, "What are you thinking? What are you trying to do?" The man responded, "No matter what happens to me, I've got to see where this flying machine comes from. I've got to find and see and experience that part of the world that created this incredible flying machine. What a sense of adventure. What a sense of courage. And I want the image of that man lashed to that fuselage to go with us this week. Oh, to God, that we would be half as brave and adventurous as he is. As people of faith, God sometimes shares crazy ideas with us. When that happens, go ahead and laugh. But if the still small voice of God keeps speaking to you and saying, "What's so funny? Is anything too wonderful for me?" then pray about it. And if you keep feeling tugged in the same direction, there comes a point where you've got to lash yourself to the fuselage of that plane and say, "Here I go, whatever happens." Because just like Mother Sarah before us, we are called to be the kind of people who dare to follow our dreams. Nothing is too wonderful for God. Amen. Go for it.